I have discovered, as you have, that loneliness is a problem in our society. In fact, the majority of those surveyed in America identify themselves as lonely people. In a recent study by a prominent university, it was found that the one subjective condition of loneliness increased the chance of death by 26%. Just the factor of loneliness alone increased the chance of death by 26%. David was a man who understood what it meant to be lonely. Perhaps today everyone can identify with his writing at some point in their life. Yet it was through the loneliness that he suffered that he was ultimately set free from the ravages of that dark condition. I believe that he had to discover for himself what the answer was for loneliness. And I want to dispel some myths today about what loneliness is and what loneliness is not. Because I think that even in the way people try to address their loneliness, they fail to demonstrate a basic understanding of what it is. We're going to talk about that for just a few moments here as we look into the Word of God this morning. I'll not ask for a show of hands because I know what the answer would be. But I want to simply say that I believe that for every person that's in this room today, there's been some point in time where you felt alone in a crowd. Some of you can remember going to a brand new school. How many of you have ever been through that experience? You've gone to a brand new school, and there may be hundreds and hundreds of students there, and you didn't know any of them, and you felt alone. Maybe you came home from school and you broke down to your mother and you said, "I don't know anybody, I don't have any friends, and everybody was ignoring me." And though there were hundreds of people there, you felt like you were all alone. You felt lonely in your heart. Maybe you went to a new church and there were hundreds of people there and you did not know any of them. And although there was a crowd of people there, you felt all alone in the crowd. You shook some hands and you greeted some folks and you went home feeling as lonely as you did when you left home. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've known people who, because they live alone and they grapple with loneliness, they would, even when they were so broke they couldn't even pay attention, they would literally just go to the mall so that they could be around humanity. They would just want to be around people because their life was lived in solitude. And when you come to that point, really you feel as though a darkness has settled in your heart. I'm talking to perhaps a couple of dozen, few dozen folks in this room today that have lost a spouse. And there's been a season of time that's followed that where you felt all alone. And though you may not really have been alone, there perhaps even were family members that came up around you, the night seemed so lonely. You miss the chats, the times together. And though there were family and though there may have been friends, it didn't do anything to mollify the pain of loneliness and the darkness that you felt in your heart that followed that loss. That I know some of you right now could school me about because you're living it. And while that seems so foreboding, I think that God wants to use it for a purpose in our lives. I want us to notice, first of all, the darkness. David wrote in the 143rd Psalm, in the third verse, he said this, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." Now, unfortunately, there are some who can identify with those words today. Do you feel like there's a desolation in your heart that is a barren wasteland, and that perhaps you're as those who have been long dead, and that your spirit, because of what Satan is doing, has laid waste of you, and your spirit is in a dark place. And I want you to understand, loneliness is a dark place in the soul that most wish to escape. We try to spend our lives desperately staying away from those types of places, not ever wanting to visit them. But here's what I want you to understand about loneliness. And it is our second point here. And that is this, that loneliness does not come from being alone. Rather, it comes from feeling alone. That's borne out by the fact that there are people that are here in a group today with people that they perhaps even know, and yet somehow in their hearts they still feel very lonely. So you might have people around you and yet still feel the darkness of loneliness in your heart. Because loneliness does not come from being alone. Rather, it comes from feeling alone. How many of you would agree with that statement, that it comes from feeling alone? Because, like I said, maybe you feel lonely today and you're here among people. So you're not alone in terms of there's company here. But still in your heart, you may feel very lonely. It's a feeling that you have. Now, how many of you know that sometimes feelings can deceive you? They can deceive you, can't they? Can we trust our feelings? Not very much. They will inevitably lead us to greater heartache. Sometimes we see little plaques on the wall or bumper stickers, and people say things like, "Follow your heart." You know, whenever I've taken that advice, I found myself in deep yogurt. Do you know what I'm saying? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It normally doesn't work out that way. Really, what we need to do is follow Jesus. Amen. He'll never lead you astray. He's never going to take you down the primrose path that leads in destruction. And so what we need to do is, rather than follow our feelings, rather we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never lead us astray. And today, if you find yourself in the darkness, it may be because of a feeling that is not entirely rooted in reality for you. And the Lord Jesus can help to deal with the broken heart, because the Bible tells us in that beloved Psalm, Psalm chapter 3, that He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. What does that mean? That He is the mender of the broken heart. That part of us that is emotionally broken, that feels that foreboding sense of dark loneliness, God can fix that in us. And the fix isn't always by giving us a companion. It's not by the Lord giving you a puppy or bringing you a wife or a husband. It may be by you coming to understand the joy of a relationship with Him. With Him. These dark feelings can become very destructive if not surrendered to the Lord. And we know this. And rare is the week that, as a pastor, I do not hear from someone a prayer request for a loved one who has been contemplating suicide. In fact, today, we, in the Sunday school hour, heard from someone who was asking prayer for a loved one who had, on a number of occasions, attempted to take their life. And what was happening there was undeniably dark feelings not being renounced and and allowing the light of Jesus to renounce the darkness of those foreboding feelings, but rather surrendering to those things and destruction following. And I would tell you that dark feelings of loneliness can be very destructive in your life if they are not surrendered to the Lord. I believe that Satan is a destroyer. The Bible reveals that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And the one who wants to impose darkness into your heart is the one that wants to destroy you and to destroy your relationships. That is the evil one. And the way you fight the darkness is with the light. The way you combat a lie is with the truth. And the truth is light. The Bible says, sanctify us with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And it casts the light upon our lives. And my friends, I want you to understand that although you may feel that you are alone, that's a lie from the devil if you're a believer. It is just simply that you have never discovered the joy of living and walking with Jesus. The one who said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. So we see the darkness, and that's a darkness that we are probably all too familiar with. How many of you have been in that dark place in your life? Raise your hand. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Just about everyone. Okay, and the rest of the folks weren't listening. They were sleeping. That's right. I hope you get a nice rest. You know, it's holiday weekend anyway. So if you're a working man or woman, go ahead, just rest. But anyway, look. We've been to that dark place. I want us to notice, secondly, if we may today from the Word of God, the decisions. You know, emotions will often cloud our ability to make sound decisions. Think about that. Emotions will often cloud our ability to make sound decisions. Let's think about what the Bible says there in Job 10:1. It says this, my soul is weary of my life. Wow, that's pretty dark, isn't it? My soul is weary of my, he didn't say my wife. Okay, right? Some of you got to put that, make sure you get that consonant correct there. My soul is weary of my life. It says, I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. That doesn't sound like anybody we want to go have lunch with, does it? No. Sometimes we wonder why we don't have friends, why we're so lonely, and it's because we talk like this. You know, we call people up or we post on Facebook, my soul is weary of my life. We're hoping someone will float us a line, you know, give us an invite to lunch. And really, they're thinking, hey, I got troubles enough of my own without buying theirs too, you know. So forget that action, right? I want to be around somebody that's going to lift me up a little bit. I've already got somebody who want to tap me, you know, tap into those emotions that are positive and drain them, just suck them right out of me. I don't need that, you know. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? It's like you've already seen plenty of other people's scars and you have enough of your own. You don't need to see any more, right? Sometimes as a pastor, I'll go on hospital calls and, you know, people want to show you their stitches or something. Don't feel under any obligation. I think it's because they didn't send me a note from their mother saying they were going to be absent from church. They have to prove that they were actually sick. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I believe you. If you're there, I believe you. All right, you don't have to show me your stitches. But you know, emotions will often cloud our ability to make sound decisions. So do you know what? When you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're upset, you're sad. It's a very poor time to try to make decisions in your life. It's a very poor time to try to make decisions in your life. Do you know, if you're angry at somebody in the church, that's not a very healthy emotion with which to make your next decision. It's not a healthy emotion with which to make your next decision. And so, understand, emotions will often cloud your ability to make sound decisions. I don't know anyone who gives great advice that would advise you to make life-changing decisions when you're emotional. Do you? How many of you know counselors that will do that? No, it's not a very sound or wise thing to do. You don't make life-changing decisions when you're emotional. You wait till you can have a perspective with clear view so that you can see the horizon a little bit. And occasionally what happens because of the loneliness and the negative emotions that are caused because of that, we cannot see the forest for the tree that is in front of us. Secondly, we notice that our lonely feelings will incite emotional thoughts. They'll incite emotional thoughts. Now, sometimes you feel lonely. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. And unfortunately, I'm going to say this, and you may not believe me, but it's true, and you can research it. But of those people that were surveyed that were lonely, those that were married showed the same percentages of loneliness as those that were single. Those that were lonely showed the same percentages of loneliness, those that were married, as those that were single. And there are people in this room right now who are married and lonely. You're married and lonely. You and your spouse are like ships passing in the night. You share a house and you're really nothing more than roommates. There's no soul-level connection anymore, it seems, and much less any spiritual connection that would bind you together and give you a common purpose that God would want you to have. And you feel like you're living with someone that really doesn't know what you're thinking and much less doesn't care. As long as the bills are paid and the house is kept in some kind of order, we're all good. Consequently, you feel lonely, and lonely feelings will incite emotional thoughts. Did I say, I said emotional thoughts, not rational ones. Not rational ones. Sometimes when our thoughts are entirely governed by our emotions, they become destructive, even though we feel like we're not doing something destructive. We're not being rational. Emotional thoughts certainly will inevitably affect our choices. They will inevitably affect our choices. So loneliness produces negative emotions. Negative and dark emotions produce emotional thoughts. And our thoughts determine our decisions, right? Our decisions. Emotional thoughts will inevitably affect our choices. Let me give you some biblical examples. They're listed here. First of all, Amnon. Amnon was the son of David who felt like he was in love with his sister Tamar. And to the point where he really convinced himself that he was, and he wanted to lay with her. And so, guess what? Those emotional thoughts affected the decision-making process. And what he decided to do was to conspire to find a way to have his sister come to his bedchamber and lay with him. And after he had his way with his sister, he raped his sister. The Bible reveals to us that the hate wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. So all the feelings of emotion that he had of love were surpassed by the feelings of hatred. And that devastating deed was done, why? Because he was in a place of dark emotions that led to a place of dark thinking that led to dark decisions that ultimately led to deadly consequences. Moses was proclaimed by the Lord as the most humble man in the world. He was a humble leader. He was a godly man. One that loved the people of God. One that was used of Him. And yet, the people of God continually were on Him. They were always complaining to Him. And whenever you see Moses kind of complaining, it's not because, it's too hot. Not because the pay was not good. It wasn't because this woman you gave me. It was because the people were constantly complaining. And finally, it got to such a point that in anger, he smote the rock, not once as the Lord commanded, but twice. Right? The rock in Horeb. And what happened? God said, you're not going to enter the land. Why? Because he allowed a negative emotion to govern the way he was thinking, and his negative thoughts led to a destructive choice, which ultimately had deadly consequences. Ultimately had deadly consequences. We think about Mary and Martha. They were overcome with their bitterness toward the Lord when their brother had died. And that bitterness, that negative emotion, controlled the way they were thinking. And they thought, the Lord, He said He loved us, but He doesn't really. Now, I've talked to a lot of people during the years of my ministry that have come to the conclusion, like Mary and Martha, that because something adverse has transpired in their life, that God doesn't really love them. Now, perhaps you've thought that at some given point in time. I want you to know that that's a lie. God loves you more than you can possibly comprehend. But Mary and Martha were emotional. They allowed their dark emotion of bitterness to control their thinking. They went to a dark place. And ultimately, they didn't receive the Lord as they had throughout the course of the New Testament. It led them to a dark decision. We see Peter, obviously, he was very proud of himself. And pride is a devastating thing. And that surge of pride that went through him led him to think that, look, I'll stand when everybody else around me falls. When everybody else around me forsakes the Lord, I will never do it. It had devastating consequences for him. Why? Because he allowed his emotions to control his thinking, and his thoughts determined his choices, and the choices resulted in that which was devastating. Now, I want to tell you something, my friend. If you're lonely, chances are that that dark place in your mind has led you to some stinking thinking. And I want you to see that next point. Darkness in the soul will lead one to seek some kind of fulfillment. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 7, the full soul loatheth even in honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now, are you supposed to go grocery shopping when you're starving? Yes or no? No. And the reason why we know that is because when we are starving to death and we go into the grocery store, we tend to just buy anything that we think looks, smells, might be good. And normally it's probably not good for you. Right? And so, do you know, I found that there are a lot of people that are hungry for companionship. They have this hungering in their heart. They're hungry to escape this type of loneliness that is a foreboding thing in their heart. And so what they do is they try to fill that hunger with everything. And what they fill that hunger with to escape the loneliness is normally something that's not at all good for you. When I'm full of Jesus, I can't be also filled with evil. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that the light of the body is the eye. So if thine eye be full of darkness, how dark is that? And the reality is this. Look, whatever it is that I set my passions upon, that's what my life will be filled with. And when I'm filled with Jesus, He is the light of the world. It will chase away the loneliness. But what I've found here is that, I think there's some next points up there. Maybe they're not. If not, that's okay. I want to share them with you. Darkness in the soul will lead one to seek some kind of fulfillment. You know how some people try to do it? Number one, they'll try to seek fulfillment in a crowd of people. Let's go to the club. Let's get around people. Do you know, I know men, honestly, that will sink to the level where they'll go to bars and clubs for gentlemen and somehow convince themselves that those girls would like him just as much if they weren't putting $5 bills down on the table for them. The truth of the matter is, they wouldn't give you the time of day. They wouldn't have lunch with you if their life depended on it. But they're so desperately lonely that they'll try to seek find that relief in being in a crowd, and they're not going to find it there. Can I say that some will seek that fulfillment in a crowd at church? But if you want to have a relationship with a group, you're going to be disappointed. You need to seek a relationship with the person of Jesus. There are those that will seek fulfillment in companions. I have a friend. This is my friend. It's kind of amusing sometimes when the kids come home from school and they're all distraught. Phoebe will be upset, you know, because her friend is now hanging out with somebody else, and they're not being friendly anymore. I'm trying to be their friend, and they won't play with me on the playground anymore. And sometimes what happens is we try to find companions as a means of dealing with and addressing those issues. And sometimes, rather than having that be the answer, that only complicates and exacerbates the condition. Some people will try to deal with that issue of loneliness in their heart and seek fulfillment through chemicals. That if I can just take this med, it will make me feel better. I'll have a sense of well-being, and that will fix my problem. And unfortunately, for the majority of people, the problem is not a chemical issue. It's a spiritual issue. Because Jesus is the healer of the broken heart, not Dr. Feelgood and his pills. It's not found in the bottle, or a needle. Some will try to find the answer in cash. They think, if I just had more money, that would be the fix-all. If I just had money, that would fix everything that's wrong with my life. Do you know the reason why you don't have money? Is because you think that. I was interested this week. I read an article in Golf Digest about Jason Day. Jason Day recently won the Deutsche Bank Championship, and he won like $1.6 million for taking first place in the golf tournament. And it was his fourth victory or something like that on the PGA Tour. And he's from down under, and he's always been a strong golfer, one of the top probably 100 golfers in the world, but he'd never really broken through. He'd never won a major tournament. He finally won the Players' Championship, and that started a string of victories for him. And he's up on the leaderboard at I think it's the Barclays right now in the FedEx Cup. But it was interesting that he said during the younger days of his career, he had no money, and he came from very humble beginnings, and they had nothing. And he said that early on, his motivation for playing golf was to make a check, to get money. And he said, you know what? As long as his motivation was to get money, he made a little, but he never broke through. But there came a point in time in his life where he realized that money really wasn't everything. And so He began to focus on relationships, and he began to play to win, not just to make a check. And do you know what happened? He's made over $11 million in earnings on the golf course, and probably double that just this year to date in endorsements. The world is filled with illustrations of people that had money and were miserable. There was a point in time where Michael Jackson was one of the wealthiest men in America. He was worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and he was terribly miserable to the extent that he used propofol to try to numb the pain, the searing pain of his own loneliness. Robin Williams was a comedian that made the world laugh, and on the inside he was desperately lonely and miserable, and he finally took his own life. What I'm saying to you is that there are people that think, if I could just get some more money. No, you're miserable not because of your financial situation, although that may not be helping you. But you know why you're in a bad financial shape? You know why you're there? Because you've made bad choices. Because you've made bad choices. You know why you made bad choices? Because of stinking thinking. And normally, that stinking thinking was aggravated by negative emotions. It's a vicious cycle, my friends. The pages of the internet are filled with examples of those who have won millions in lottery earnings and have everybody come out of the woodwork to be friends with them, only to blow through the millions that they had earned and discover that all those people that were around when they were wealthy were nowhere to be found when it was gone. And many of those people eventually took their own lives, though at a point in time they had millions. They don't satisfy. So some try to mollify the hurt and the darkness of their soul with the crowd or companions or chemicals or cash or some a career. If I could just reach this pinnacle in the ladder of my career, then somehow I will feel some measure of fulfillment. Recently, my wife shared with me a story of a lady who was at the top of her profession and had given almost 20 years of her life to her job. And in the course of it, her kids had grown and moved. Her husband had divorced her, and both of her parents had died. And one day, she came into work that was everything to her. And the board member appointed said, "You have a week to get your things cleared out and be gone." She gave everything to that career to the extent that everything that was truly important in her life was eventually gone. It was sacrificed on the altar. And she thought, there are people down at work that care about me. There are people down there that I've had relationships with that I've worked with for 20 years of my life. And just like that, it was gone. And today I imagine she's a very lonely, sad-hearted person. Some think, if I have children, that will deal with my loneliness. Most of us were shocked and dismayed to read of the woman in the West Valley that drowned her two twin children in the bathtub because she herself was not loved, and she said neither were they. So she wanted to spare them the misery that she was feeling in her lonely heart. And as twisted and as dark as that is, that destructive emotion leads to destructive thinking, and destructive thinking leads to destructive choices. Children aren't the answer. They can exacerbate the problems, especially when you're tired and it's 3 a.m. and you haven't slept for a week and they have an earache and you've still got to go to work in the morning. got six kids, man. I understand that. You know? I got six kids. I understand that. Been there, done that. And a lot of times it's taken my turn. Some, it's a craft. It might be pouring yourself into a hobby. It might be pouring yourself into the internet. That's your craft. It's no strange thing to me, really, that 70% of people surveyed identify as on some level lonely, and 70% of men and 46% of women say that they download pornography on the internet. They're trying to fill up and touch some empty place in their heart. And it won't work. It's a destructive choice. It doesn't fulfill you. So we see the darkness that it produces, and we see the decisions that follow that. But would you notice the discovery? The discovery. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." These were words, no doubt, that David the king had heard hundreds of times in his life. And though he had heard it, it had never become a living, breathing reality in him until finally, after being chased like a common criminal and treated like an animal, hiding in caves and dark places to escape the hand and the sword of Saul and escape even the sword and the hand of his own son, Absalom, he had to discover the reality that the one who can dispel the loneliness within is Jesus. You know what really, I believe, underlies that loneliness, that feeling? It's a fear. I'm afraid of going through life alone. I'm afraid of dying alone. I'm afraid of no one understanding me. I'm afraid of whatever it is, fill in the blank. And we have that fear. But understand this, the Bible says, in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So Jesus is love. And what he wants to do is remove the fear of going throughout your days alone, of dying alone. He said, look, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You'll never be alone, my friend. You just feel like it at times, but that's not necessarily the truth. That's coming from the evil one, who's the father of darkness and the father of lies, according to John chapter 8, who wants you to be governed by how you feel and let how you feel determine how you think, and how you think determine the choices that you make that will ultimately lead you to a place of destructiveness in your life. And we must discover what he did, that he has said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is the only one that can satisfy you when all others will fail you or forsake you. I think about the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote in his last will and testament to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So when everyone forsook him, he knew that God was standing with him. He had the keen sense of awareness that God was not only in him, but God was with him. And that's the reality for those that know the Lord as their Savior. Today, you may be facing the sum of your fears, but you're not facing them alone. You might be facing a divorce, but you're not facing that alone. You might be facing unemployment, but you're not facing it alone. You might be facing terminal illness, but you're not facing it alone. You might be facing financial reversal, but you're not facing it alone if you know the Lord as your Savior. Do not live your life on the basis of what you feel. Live your life on the basis of thus saith the Lord, and he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's interesting. Psalm 35:17, it says this, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I was interested in that term, my darling. David saying that to the Lord. And I looked up what it meant. Do you know what it means? It means this. My one and only. That's what it means. My one and only. My darling. You're my one and only. You know what David was saying to the Lord? You're all I've got. But do you know what he realized? You're all I need. You're all I really need. My darling. You know what? Some of you today need to wrap your arms around the Lord and, like David, say, my darling Savior. My darling Savior. My one and only. You're not only what I need, you're who I want. You're who I want. Lastly, the delight. The delight. Put all three of them up there, and we're going to come to an end. I want to just say this. The Lord will never forsake us. The Lord will never fail us. The Lord will never unfriend us. Amen. I want to read a portion of Scripture and we'll come to an ending. Psalm 27. Its words are perhaps familiar to some, not so familiar to others, but nevertheless contain so much of what can battle this darkness in the life. And it says this, the Lord is my light. You have that dark emotion in you? Let the Lord drive it away with his presence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, my face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now listen. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. I have to say that I understand this message. not because I went to school, not because I know a little Greek or Hebrew, but because I've had to live it. A lot of people come to church and they see the preacher and they think, well, he's a third generation preacher, and what does he know about any trouble? And the truth of the matter is, I know what it feels like to blunder and make a total colossal mess of my life and have to deal with the consequences of stupid choices. I know what it feels like to hurt. I know what it feels like to be alone and lonely. And I felt the sting of it for long seasons of my life. And I can remember days where I'd eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner all by myself. Day after day after day after day. And that after never eating a single meal alone for years of time. And never having a day without having multiple offers. Hey, let's go have lunch. Hey, let me buy you lunch. Let me go get you a steak. And then all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. And in a dark, lonely time of my life, I wrestled with the Lord. And on a weekend night, it was a Friday night, I lay on the floor in my apartment in Orange County, California, face down, crying my eyes out, a pool of tears, lonely. Couldn't even get a hold of anybody that I thought might care. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I started to cry out to the Lord and say, God, for years I have preached your word and told others that you are enough. And God, I don't want to have preached it to others and never experienced it myself. And I began to just resign everything in my life. Say, God, if you want me to drive this little car and live in this little apartment, I surrender. If you want me never to own a home and never be in healthy relationships and never have the fellowship of those that I love, then God, if that's what you want for me, I believe that you'll be enough. God, I want to know your reality in my life. I want to discover it for myself. As I began to turn loose of everything and just give everything in my life over to the one who really understood and the one who really cared, I cried myself to sleep, and I woke up the next morning, and it was like a ton of bricks had been lifted off my shoulders. And that morning, I had my bagel and drank my coffee with the dearest friend that I've ever had. And I've never eaten alone since. Because I had to discover the delight of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I had to find out for myself that Jesus was the answer for my loneliness. And he's the answer for yours too, not just mine. And today I'm going to tell you that if you have never trusted him for your eternal salvation, he's inviting you into that relationship with him, so that you can find what God revealed to me. When I surrendered everything to the Lord, it was all of a sudden like the Lord opened the floodgates to me. And he brought the most wonderful woman in the world into my life. He began to open doors of opportunity. And what was before only darkness now was the light of his countenance on my life. But it didn't come until I discovered the delight of him. And I realized that though I was going through a hellacious time in my life, I wasn't doing it alone. And neither are you.